Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan, daf Chav Zayin. We left off in daf Chav Vav and Beis, 9 lines from the end of the page at Tanu Rabbanan, right in the middle of a line. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and also by the Sussman family on the occasion of the yard site of Dr. Noah Sussman, Noach Ben Moshe, Nesham Shem Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for these sponsorships. So today we're going to discuss whether it's the Sudas Havra is done on Mitos Kfuyos or it's done on Mitos Zukufos. Do you have it on upright beds or on beds that are turned over? And that's going to lead us into a very detailed discussion of all of the dinim of Kfiyas Amita. So in a certain sense, the large part of Amud Aleph is not Nogeil Lamaisa Bizman Azeh because we don't do Kfiyas Amita anymore Bizman Azeh, but all of the dinim of Kfiyas Amita on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And then the Gemara is going to discuss various malachos that are permitted in the Beis Avel and those that are not permitted in the Beis Avel. Then the Mishnah toward the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to go through three different takanos to Rabbanan that they made for Avelim, and that's going to lead the Gemara into 8 different takanos that were made, not all related to Avelos, 8 different takanos that were made that relate to not embarrassing people. Actually, they do all relate to Avelos, now that I think about it, I think. That 8 different takanos that were made that relate to not embarrassing people by treating some people differently than others, that will therefore cause embarrassment to anyone in that same category. So they made takanos to treat everybody the same, even though logically it wouldn't make sense to treat everybody the same, but it's worthwhile in order to save the embarrassment. Then the Gemara is going to discuss being maspid on Chol HaMoed and on Chanukah and on Purim. Then the Gemara is going to have 3 different statements, 3 different teachings of Rabbi Yochanan, as well as 3 different teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to all that today. So let's begin on 9 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Chavavam Beis Tan Rabbanan. So says the Braisa, Tan Rabbanan, Chol Shemes Lameis, if someone is ill and they lose a relative, Ein Modino So Shemes, Shemit Tarv Daito Alav, don't let them know that they lost the relative because we're afraid that they're going to get so upset that it's going to harm them and they're going to die as a result of the distress from losing the relative. They mekarin befanav. We also don't tear kriya in front of them. Umeshatkin es hanashim mipanav, and we keep the women quiet, meaning that they shouldn't be maspid, they shouldn't be matpiach, they shouldn't carry on in all the ways that they normally would in order to express their tsar and their avelos. But doing so may cause them a significant amount of agmas nefesh, and in his weakened state, it could actually harm him and could kill him. Umekarin lekat. So actually, before we get to that, so the Ran writes, you see over here that if a person is healthy and he's meis lameis, it's tzarech lodio, because otherwise he's going to be violating the avelos. He has a mitzvah of avelos, that the chiddush of the Gemara was a cholesh meis lameis, that you don't let him know, but a healthy person you have to let him know. But he says no, this is not necessarily a raya, and they say that no, by a cholesh it's aser lahodio. For a bari, you have the right to let him know or not to let him know, meaning you can choose one way or the other. But at the end of the day, paskins that it's ra'ui lahodio in order not to be machshil him in the iser, meaning he's supposed to observe avelus, so it's ra'ui lahodio. In Shulchan Aruch, in Yardin, Simon Tav Beis, Sifyud Beis, we paskin that there's no requirement to let a bari know shemes lomes. If he asks, you're not allowed to lie, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to tell him. The Taz writes over there that you have to say it in a way that's mishtamil l'shnei panim, you say it in a way that's softer and that's not as explicit, but certainly says Shulchan Aruch, there's no requirement to inform him when meis lo meis, and even when it's meis lo avi v'imo, and you can even invite him to suuda simcha, because so long as he's unaware that he's in avelus, he's actually not in avelus, and therefore is not in violation of any iser. The Rama writes that by banim zucharim the minig is to let them know so that they're able to say kaddish, but for banos he's maskim to the Shulchan Aruch that it's not necessary to tell them. Daughters are also allowed to say Kaddish. So a question of exactly how to set that up. Should a woman be saying Kaddish alone? Should be saying Kaddish in the men's section or all the way from the Ezra's Nashim? But the requirement to say Kaddish traditionally has been on the sons, and therefore in order to do something positive for the Neshama by saying Kaddish, we let the sons know, says the Rama. We make sure to let the son know, but we're not necessarily always going to let the daughter know. So that's the halach in Shulchan Aruch, that's not necessary tell people, we utilize this halacha every once in a while. Someone has a simcha coming up in the family, it's going to start the whole simcha, so we wait till afterwards to tell them, we let them know, and they'll observe avelus a day or two later when we let them know. Or sometimes you have a situation where it's a meslav v'imo, but it was a deadbeat dad, it was someone who abandoned the children, and they'd have no relationship with him, and you're going to tell them that their father died, and now they're going to have to sit shiva for someone that they never knew, they had no interest in, had no interest in them. So very often in those cases, we don't tell them. We wait till after, till it's a shmur rechoka, so that they're not going to have to observe proper avelus. Then the braisa continues, makarin lekatan me'agmas nefesh, that we tear the begadim of a katan who lost a relative only on account of agmas nefesh, that other people should see that a katan had kriya done, and that will cause agmas nefesh. Bekorin al chavav al chamoso, m'nei kvodishtu, a person also tears kriya on the petira of a mother-in-law and a father-in-law out of respect for one's wife. Some of the Rishonim say, wait a second, this Mekarin Lekatan Me'agmas Nefesh, what kind of Katan are we talking about? Whenever you have the word Katan, you always have to ask, Katan Shehigia L'chinuch or Katan Shelo Higia L'chinuch? So if it's a Katan Shehigia L'chinuch, what's the Chiddush that you're Mekarin, and why would it say Mepnei Agmas Nefesh? Say Mekarin Lekatan Mepnei Chinuch. And if it's a Katan Shelo Higia L'chinuch, then you understand why it's only Mepnei Agmas Nefesh, but that's quite a Chiddush, that even for Katanim Shelo Higia L'chinuch, that we're going to do Kriya. So some of the Rishonim understand that this is a Katan Shelo Higia L'chinuch, and Afal Pikein, we do Kriya on him because not for his own benefit, but the Agmas Nefesh that it's going to cause when other people see him. But if it's a Higia L'chinuch, then you have to be Korea Midin Chinuch. However, this is a Machlokas HaPoskim. The Torah quotes the sheet of the Ritzkeus that a Katan Shehigia L'chinuch, that we tear Kriya Kishemes Echon Mikrovav, just like Chinuch on other mitzvah. So it sounds like not Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. So the Drish is medayik that he's knowing all dinei avelus, that once a katan is higia l'chinuch, so you're mechanichim in all of the dinim of avelus. However, the Nekudas HaKesef and the Dagal Mervava, they say no, there are no dinei avelus for a katan. And the raya is for the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Sadivav, Siv Gimel talks about a katan shehigdil b'toch shiva, that he's not knowing avelus because he was not knowing bizman misas aviv. What do you mean he wasn't knowing bizman misas aviv? If he was higdil b'toch shiva, obviously he was higia l'chinuch at that point. So in the Shivas Tzion, in the Shailus Shuvah Shivas Tzion, Simin Samach Aleph, he's Docha the Raya. That even according to the sheet of the Drisha, that a Katan is Chayiv Midin Chinuch, but there's still a lot of Nafkaminas between being Chayiv Midin Chinuch and being Chayiv Min Hadin, in the case where you're not Chayiv at the Zman of Petiras Aviv. So if he taught him Torah, that if you're Mechanichim in Avelos, you're going to be Mevatel him. So the Divrei and the Taz is talking about a Katan that was not learning Torah, or Bas, where we're not knowing chinuch on a Bas as opposed to a Ben. That's also a major machlokas. However, the Beis Hillel on the side of it, not the original Beis Hillel, the commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Hillel in Yerideas and Mishin Pei Aleph explains, based on Shitas Rashi, that there is no chinuch by Avelus. And he says, don't say that Rashi is only talking about by a Bas where there's no chavas chinuch. In general, the Gemara sounds that way in Nazir, there's no din of chinuch on a Bas, because it's only by Nazirus that there's no chinuch on a bas. Meaning it's a Gemara in Nazir. There is chinuch for a daughter. If the purpose of chinuch is to train a child to become a Shomer Torah mitzvah, to observe mitzvahs properly, why wouldn't that apply to a daughter? No, by Nazirus there's no chinuch for a daughter. But by other mitzvahs, certainly you have chinuch for a daughter as well. No, the reason there's no chinuch by Avelus is based on the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, Perek Yud Gimel, that kol mi she'eino mesabel k'mo shetzivu chama areza achzori el yifachid v'yidag v'yifashish b'maisa v'yachzor b'tshuva v'achim nechabur shemes tidu kalachabur kula, that a person when they're experiencing avelus has to experience avelus fully, and if they're not, then it looks like that they're cruel people that are not experiencing avelus properly. So since the ikur inyan of avelus is to promote tshuva, that the bnei achabura are responsible for each other, and by a katan he's not going to be able to fully internalize the concept of the avelus. He's not a baronchin, he doesn't have to do tshuva, and he's not going to be able to properly express the avelus. So it could be that there's no chiv of chinuch on the katan dafka by avelus, because the chiv of chinuch is when a person is capable of doing the mitzvah, meaning chinuch is to be able to do the mitzvah as an ena mitzvah v'yosa. The katan's not going to be capable of doing the mitzvah. First of all, he's got nothing to do tshuva for, and he's not going to be able to express his avelus in a mature enough way. And therefore, maybe, according to some of the achronim, there's no chiv of chinuch whatsoever when it comes to avelus for a katan. V'yam Rav Papa, Tana be'evil Rabasi, we have a brayso maseches machos. Avel lo yaniach tinok b'tolcheikom, m'nei shemavil de schok, look. Veninza miskana al abrios. It is a difficult halacha for many avelim to observe, but it is a halacha that an avel during shiva is not supposed to hold a young child in his lap, because the children say funny things and do cute things, and it's maybe they schok and simcha. So you're going to see the avel smiling and laughing and cooing with the baby, with the child. So it's miskana al abrios. So it looks like the person is not paying proper attention to the avelus, and that he's not observing the avelus properly. The Torah in Yerudeus Mishin Sadi Aleph writes that the Isser to hold the child, he mentions the Isser to hold the child, doesn't mention Shemi Yisgana. He just says that avel is asa b'simcha, and children may bring a lot of joy, so you shouldn't hold the child. Forget about the way other people are looking at it. The nafkamina would be, what if nobody else is around? If it's because he's going to be miskana on others, so then when nobody else is around, it should be fine for him to play with the child. But if it's about his own simcha, that he shouldn't be experiencing this distraction of simcha, so then even when nobody else is around, he shouldn't be distracted from the avelus. Vein marbanel al mitos akufos. Then we said in the Mishnah that when you do the sudas avra, you do it on beds that are upright. So Tanu Rabban, the Brisa tells us as follows, that the relatives of the avel, haholich lebeis ha'avel, that go to the beis avel to be menachim him and to give him the sudas avra after the kavura, im haya libo gaspo, if the avel is very close with these menachimim, so yavruhu al mitos kufuyos, they should give the avelim the sudas avra when they're sitting together on turned over beds. But if he doesn't have liba gaspel, he doesn't have this comfort level, yavru al mitos akufos, then they should do it on a mitos akufa, on an upright bed. Rava itrabemil. So one time Rava was sitting shiva, olagabe Abba Bar Mata do Abba Bar Menume. Abba Bar Mata, who happened to be the same person as Abba Bar Menume, how could he be the same person? What was his father's name? Marta or Menume? So his mother's name was Marta. His father's name was Menume. So sometimes he's called by the name of his mother. It could be because there's a Gemara in Yuma and Daf Pedalid that says that his mother saved him from the bite of a Kelev Shota, so he owed his life to his mother. So maybe out of covered for that, for the fact that she saved, everyone owes their life to their mother, but the fact that she saved him from a premature death, maybe that's why he got the name Abba Bar Marta. Maybe that's why we call him by his mother's name sometimes. So anyway, so this Abba Bar Marta, who was also Abba Bar Menume, this Abba Bar Marta was also Abba Bar Menume. I think this is computer trouble. Okay, this Abba Bar Marta, who was also Abba Bar Menume, went to visit Rava when he was in Avelus. So Rava Zakif, Rava sat on a Mita Zakufa. He felt that they weren't so close, that he wasn't so comfortable that they should be with Kfiyas Amita. So Abba Bar Marta coffee, but Abba Bar Marta turned the bed over. Amar Kamales Be Daita lights from Rabbanan. And when Rava saw that, he said, this guy, this Talmud Chacham, doesn't have das, that I was Zokif the Mita because I don't feel that comfortable with him. And he didn't understand that. He thinks that I'm so comfortable with him, so he was kofer the mita for no reason. If you have an avel that's traveling from one place to another, when he's able to be mema'it b'schora, he should do that. He should do less business. But if he's not able to be mema'it b'schora, since he's not going to find cheap schora anywhere, so he doesn't have to stop from schora entirely and to lose out. But nevertheless, he shouldn't do it. He shouldn't do independent business. Rather, you galgali mahen. You should do schora together with other members of the Chabura. Tosos writes two tzadim in terms of what we're talking about over here. One possibility is that this din of Holich Bederach is coming to be Mekil, that even by Avelus Alav V'ima, we allow him to do Schorah together with the Bnei Chabura because he's Holich Bederach. But Avelus and Shar Krovim is more Kal. You don't even need to be Mema'it B'Schorah when you're Holich Bederach. Or alternatively, this din is a chumrah, that since he's holich bederach, he's not knowing so much avelus, so he's feeling more of a sense of nechama and not as much of a sense of avelus. So they were machmir in him that even for avelus of shar krovim, not of vi'imo, he's not allowed to be marba b'schora, more so than a person who's yoshev beso and is not misnachim. And it's only if he's not able to be b'schora, so then he should do together with bnei chabura and not do alone. Then Tosos quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yosef that someone who's holich bederech would buy tzarchei su'uda to sell them more so than someone who's sitting at home, because Yosef Bebeso has people to buy for the Tzarchei Suda. So he'll find a lot of other Tzarchei Suda in his house. So he says Holich Bederech that he should be made be Isko as far as buying Tzarchei Suda that he's accustomed to. Okay, next price. So Tanur Rabban Meimah Saikofen Asamita. So continuing in the dinim of Kfiyas Amita, at what point does the din of Kfiyas Amita begin? Mishayetim Mipasach Peso. From the very moment they take the coffin out of the house, they take the body out of the house for burial, now the house turns into a Beis Avel, and you immediately do Kfiyas Amita. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishe Yisasim HaGolel, when they close the Aron of the Mace, Maisa Shemes Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, Kibin Sheyasim Pesach Beiso, Armelam Rabbi Lezer, Kfimut Sechem. When Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein died, as soon as they took the body out, Rabbi Eliezer said to the relatives of Rabbi Gamliel, now it's time for Kfiyas Amita. Kibin Shenistam HaGolel, Armelam Rabbi Yeshua, Kfimut Sechem. But as soon as they did Stimus HaGolel, Rabbi Yeshua told the relatives of Rabbi Gamliel, now's the time for Kfiyas Amita. Amrlo, they informed Rabbi Shua, Kvar Kafinu al Pizakein. Rabbi Eliezer already told us to Kfiyas Amita beforehand when they took the body out, so we already did it. It's too late. Tan Rabban Meimah says Zok Kfiyas Amitos Berav Shabbos. Now, when it comes time, it's going to be Shabbos during the Shiva, so then you have to do Zekifas Amita. You have to put the beds back into place. So when on Erev Shabbos does one do Zekifas Amita? Mina Mincha Ulamayla. From the time of Mincha and on, where there's a mitzvah to be mosif Mechala al Kodesh, so already a Mincha time. You do Zekifas Hamita. It doesn't say whether it's Mincha Katana or Mincha Gedola that you do Zekifas Hamita. So that is, in fact, a Machlokas Rishonim. If you look at Tosus, Mincha Lamayel, Pirush B'Tosus Harav, De Mesafkalei, I Mincha Gedola, I Mincha Katana. De Mikodem Lechein, Eni Yoshev Aleha. So nearly, De Mikan Tzom, Choshlo Leish, Vilga B'Kisei, V'Safsal, Av Plitsha, In Raya Gemur, De Shaini Mita, Ol B'Tzorach Kfiyah, V'Lometzin Kfiyah, B'Kisei, V'Safsal. Okay, that's a different point, but he says that we're mesupak at the beginning of Tosos, that we're mesupak whether this is talking about Mincha Gedola or Mincha Katana. Amar Rab Barav Huna, Afal Pikein, even though there's a mitzvah to be zokef the mita before Shabbos, Eino Yoshev Ela'at Shetachshach. You don't sit on the mita zakufa until it's already Shabbos itself. Ulam Motzai Shabbos. And when you have to go back and do Kfiyas Amita again Motzai Shabbos, Af Bishen L'Leishev Ela Yom Echad. Even though you have only one day till Shiva's over, they're getting up Sunday morning, Chozer V'Kofet. So it's such a hassle. They're going to have to be called for the Mita again. For what? For just a few hours? Yes. They have to do that again. They have to do Kfiyas Amita again on Motzai Shabbos. Other dinim of Kfiyas Amita. Tanu Rabbanan, HaKofa Mitaso, Lo Mitaso Bilvadu Kofa, El Kol Mito Sheyesh HaMetech Beisa Hu Kofa. Now when they do Kfiyas Amita, it's not only the Mita of the Avel, they do Kfiyas Amita on all of the Mitos in the house. This is a din not in the Avel, this is a din in the base Avel, that there are several halachos where it's a halach in the base Avel, that in the entire base Avel, they need Kfiyas Amita. V'afili Yeshal Esa Mitos Pasarim Mekomos Kofa Eskulan. Even if he has 10 Mitos in 10 different rooms, you have to be Kofa all of them. The Rambam, Nilchsevel Parak Hei Halach Yurches, writes Basara Batum Basara Ayaros, that even if he has 10 different homes and 10 different cities, you got to do Kfiyas Amita in all of his homes. The Meiri says he doesn't think that that's correct. Basara Batum, that sometimes he sleeps here, sometimes there. Maybe that would be true, that Sarah Makomos, it's hard to imagine that in 10 different cities that you'd have to be Kofa the Mita. So wherever he has, he's Kofa the Mita. Again, the Brisa tells us 10 beds in 10 different places, you have to be Kofa all of the Mitos. Vafilu Chamisha Achin, even if five brothers and they all live in their own homes and one of them dies, even though no one is staying in the Beis HaMeis, no one is staying where the Meis was, so everyone is called for the Mita in their own homes. And the reason is because the Misas HaMeis in the Bais is not Gorim the din of Kfiyas Amita. It's the Chiyuv of Avelus, wherever the Avel is, that's Gorim the Chiyuv of Kfiyas Amita. That's how the Ritva explains. Another reason that they're kofa kolamitos, as opposed to other dini avelus, where each avel is knowing on his own, the Oracham explains that the din of avelus of kfiyas amita is different than other dinim of avelus. When it comes to other dinim, like kriyas habagadim, yeshiva al hakarka, not being megaleach, all of those things, they're done by a person who hears something that upsets him very much, even without machshava. It's not something that one has to think about doing. It's like a natural reaction to feeling distressed about something that the great tsar that a person has causes him to do those types of things. It's like a person who's not interested in living because he has so much tsar, he's depressed. So that's also gorem that he doesn't want to eat on his own, that other people are going to have to encourage him to eat, and that's the suda savra. So all of those things, all of the dinim of avelus, typically are natural to someone who's experiencing some type of depression. But kfiyas amita is different because it's not one of the things that you would do in a mindless way. It's not something that you would do without thinking. You have to do it al yidei machshava to be hofich the mita in order to lie on it in a way that's mitzair. So that it sort of encourages him to get more into the avelus. So maybe that's why we're kofet the mita regardless wherever the avel is. V'maisa mita miuchedas l'kelim, and the mita is a mita that's miuchad for kelim. It's not meant for people to sit on. Ein tzarich l'chvosa. Then you don't have to do kfiyas amita. Dargish ein tzarich l'chvosa. If a person has a dargish, he doesn't have to do kfiyas amita. Elo zokfo. Rather, he should stand it up straight. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer dargish matir's karbita. That if you have a dargish, you should undo the straps of the dargish. Vu nofel me'elov, and it will fall on its own. My dargish. We keep talking about a dargish. What is a dargish? Amr ula arsa degada. It's a mita that they would have that Rashi explains is miyuchad for mazel tov. It's designated for a good mazel, that they don't use it for anything. It's a good luck bed that they would just have in the house, and no one sleeps on it. Only the good mazel sleeps on it. So it's not meant for any sort of usage. Amle Rabbe El Me'ata. If that's the case, that a dargish is a mita that no one sits on. Gabe Melech Ditanan. When it comes to a melech, the Mishnah says in Masech Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf that when we do a Suda Savra for a melech who's in Avelus, Kola Amasubin Al Aretz, Vuhu Meisavel a dargish. That the melech is going to sit on a dargish, but if a dargish is a mita of mazel, then nobody sits on. Mika Midi Dadi Nalo Svinim Vahashem Svinim Lay. Up until now, no one sat on it. It's like this chashva place that's designated for nobody. And now that he's in Avelus, he's going to sit on this chashva throne that normally only the Mazel Tov is allowed to be on. So Maskar Vashi, my question, why is that so difficult? There are things of kavod that we don't do for a person until they become an avel. Mididava, achil v'shtia, just like when it comes to eating and drinking for a regular person. Dadi inna lo chlini v'lo shkinei, no one keeps bringing food to your house each and every day, to feed you all the time, but hasha chlini v'lo shkinei, person sitting shiva, all of a sudden there's a ton of food coming to his house. There are certain things you do for people when they're avel, so maybe sitting on the dargish is no different. That normally it's not sat on, but when the melech is novel, he sits on the dargish. Eli kasha akasha. No, if we have a problem with saying that dargish is a bed that's miyuchad the mazel tov, here's our kasha. Ditanya, we have a brisa. Dargish eru torch lichvoso el zokfo. That you don't do kfiyas amita on the dargish, you're zokef the dargish. The arsa de gada, but if it's made just for mazel, amayinu torch lichvoso, why don't you have to do kfiyas amita? Hatanya, after all, didn't we learn in the brisa kof mitas lo mitas blvadu kof el kol mitshesh l'btoch beisok? Kofa? Didn't we learn that you have to be kofa all the mitos, even the ones you're not using? So the dargish is never used. Why should it be putter from kfiyas amita? So my kasha, why is that so difficult? Midadava mita miuchadis l'kelim. We said that it's not all the mitos in the bayis; it's all of those mitos that are sometimes used in the bayis. But let's say a mita miuchadis l'kelim, which is never used by a person, you also don't do kfiyas amita. So why should the dargish be any different? That shouldn't be a problem. A third possible kasha on saying that dargish means a mita that's miuchad for mazel tov. Eli kasha ha kasha. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer dargish matir karbita vu nofel me'elav. Now when it comes to the dargish, you undo its straps and it falls on its own. But if it's a mita of mazel, my karbita nisle, what sort of straps does it have to be matir? It stays in place. You never take it apart. So it shouldn't have straps that make it easily taken apart because it's not for something that needs to be taken apart. It just sits there in the corner the whole time. So dargish is certainly not a mita of mazel, says the Gemara. So kiyasa Ravin, rather when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, Armalei Humi Rabban Rav Techlifa Barma Rava. Shmei Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava. His father's name was not Marava. Bar Marava means he was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Tachlifa, who was a Ben Eretz Yisrael, said, that's how Rashi says, Shlomo Min HaYosam says that it is a shame ish, that it is that his father's name is actually Marava. But Pashto says Bar Marava means he was a Ben Eretz Yisrael. Tav Shchiach B'Shuka De Gildai, who is around in the Shuk where the shoemakers were and the people who worked with leather were. and he said, my dargish, what is the dargish of the Chum talk about? Arsa d'tzala. It's a bed made out of leather, and the way they would attach it is that the actual mita, the leather that you would actually lie on, is attached with leather straps, and those leather straps attach to other leather straps that come off of the frame of the bed. And that's what the Brice is saying, that a dargish doesn't require kfiyas amita, because we're choshesh that the leather of the mita is going to get ruined from the moisture of the karka if you turn it upside down. And therefore you're zokef. Zokef means you stand it up on its side. And Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that you could be matir the ksharim and let it fall onto the ground on the reverse side, not on the side that you lie on, and therefore it's not going to be miskalkel, meaning if you turn it upside down, so then the surface that you lie on is going to be right on the ground and the moisture is going to ruin it. So two possibilities: either you stand it on its side, or you undo the straps and then it will just fall in the same direction that it is currently, so the surface that's going to be on the ground is the bottom surface that you don't lie on anyway, so we're not worried that it's going to ruin the dargish. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, dargish serugo mitocho, mita seruga al gaba. There's just a different way that you attach the dargish to the frame of a bed than a regular mita. A dargish, the attachment, the straps that attach it to the bed, it attaches to the sides of the frame of the bed. Whereas a mita is siruga al gaba, that the straps go around the frame of the bed. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Halach Rav Shmuel Gamliel. We pass on like Rav Shmuel Gamliel that you don't need to do kfiyas amita on a dargish, but you should be matir the ritzuos. You should undo the straps and let it fall to the ground. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, Amar Rabbi Asi, mita shenaklita yotzin zokfa. If you have a mita that has poles sticking out from the bed, one on each end, and then you have a long pole that goes across the top of the bed in order to be porisadin, in order to put a curtain over the bed and to protect you from the sun or from bugs or whatever, and you're not able to be hofech, then zokfa v'dayo. Then you stand it up on its side and it's good enough, because if you were to turn it up upside down, it wouldn't be balanced. It would it's just got a pole on the top of it, so it wouldn't be able to stand that like that. So therefore, you're zokef instead of being kofa. Last thing about kfiyas amita, Tan Rabbanan. Yashan al gabi kise al gabi udyane gadola al gabi karka lo yatsi dechavaso. That if an avil sleeps on a kise or on some other type of a large vessel or on the karka, and he doesn't do kfiyas amita, he has not fulfilled his avelus in the proper way. Amar Rabbi Yochan shlo kiem kfiyas amita means he hasn't fulfilled kfiyas amita. Just by kfiyas amita is not about what the avil does. It's not about the fact that he's sitting on the ground. Kfiyas amita is something that has to be done on all the beds in the house, whether he's using them or not. So that's the musti yukanin asatalem vam nasein fachtiya. We have to show that we're turning something upside down. That's the nature of the din of kfiyas amita. Tanu rabban mechabdin umarbitzin beisa avil. Once we're talking about kfiyas amita, which is a din in the beis ha'avil, so we're going to talk about other dinim related to malacha that you do in a beis. So you can clean the karka, you can be mezalef. Marbitzin means to like sprinkle water on the floor. They used to have dirt floors. So if you don't sprinkle with water every once in a while, the dirt is going to be so loose that you're going to choke, because it's going to be like a cloud of dirt from walking around the house. So you want it to be like hard ground. You want the dirt to stay down. So they'd be marbitzin. You're allowed to do that in a beis ha'avel, because you do that there shouldn't be dirt in the house. That's not considered a matter of chashivus. You're allowed to do the dishes. But you're not supposed to bring mugmar. Mugmar are incense and spices that they would burn in order to make clothing smell good. They would put it underneath the clothing, and it would impart a nice aroma to the clothing. So you're not allowed to do mugmar and besamim in beis ha'avel, because then it looks like something that's extra enjoyment. So the Gemara in the first paragraph Suba says that mugmar was enjoyed by mefunakim. They used to do mugmar. That was something that not everybody would do. It was a special enjoyment. It was a special treat. Any, but can you really say that? You're not allowed to do mugmar and besam in the beis ha'evel. V'atani bar kapara ein mevorchen lo ala mugmar v'lo ala besam beis ha'evel. Didn't bar kapara say that you're not supposed to say a birchas hareach on mugmar or besam beis ha'evel, meaning on Motzai Shabbos, where you say a birchas hareach on besamim in order to be meshiv the nefesh after the loss of the neshami yaseira? So normally you do say a bar minei besam on Motzai Shabbos. Now, of course, bar minei besam is not a bracha that's miyuchad from Motzai Shabbos. It just happens to be that's that's when we say it, because we happen because we have this halacha that you're supposed to, because of the neshami seira. But anytime you enjoy the pleasant fragrance, a pleasant aroma of something natural, not like of an air freshener or something like that, that's chemical, but something natural, you would have a bracha. If it's a peros, you have one bracha. Bari mineh b'samim is like the shakol niyah b'dvaro of birchas areich. But bari atzei b'samim, if it's cinnamon sticks or something like that, so you have all of these brachos, but you don't say it in the beis ha'evel. And pashas is the chiddush, is that you don't say it even on motzai Shabbos, because it's only meant to be mavir reich ra and not to give a reich tov. So it sounds like bruchei hu de la mevarchin nasuy me'sinan. From this price, it sounds like we're not going to say bracha, but you do have it. You do bring it to a beis ha'evel. Lo kash hab beis ha'evel hab beis ha'menachmin. Difference between the beis ha'evel when the mace is still there in order to remove the reich ra, so you let it bring mugmar. But when the mace is no longer there, so there's no reich ra anymore, and it's just for enjoyment, then don't even bring the mugmar to the beis ha'evel. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ein molich on the beis ha'evel. You don't bring. Mishnah is going to tell us three takanas. Takana number one: Ein malich on the beis ha'evel lo b'tavla v'lo b'uskutla v'lo b'kanon ele b'salim. When they're bringing the food to the beis ha'evel, they shouldn't do it in this very covetic way. They shouldn't be serving things on silver platters and everything. You put it in a brown paper bag and you bring it to the beis ha'evel. The way the delivery should be: the sushi platter should be on plastic because it's a mitzvah of sushi in the beis ha'evel. You should do it on like simple things. It shouldn't be something on expensive items. The in omer birchas avelim b'moed, person should not say birchas avelim on chol moed, aval omdin b'shura u'menachemin. But they should stand in the shura and be menachem the avelim like they normally would after the kavura, and then potim nesarabim. And then the avelim tell other people, it's okay, you can go home right now. They give rishus to go back right away to their house. You don't have to sit with us for the sudas avra on chol moed to be mevarich the birchas avelim. And then the third takana, ein manichnas amita berachov. They shouldn't put the mita out in the town square in order not to encourage hespedim, because people are going to see it and be mitzta'er, and that's not appropriate for chalamoid. And for a woman's mita, they never put it out in public, because that's undignified for a woman. The concern is that there are bodily fluids that are going to pour out of her body, and that's going to be very, very undignified to have that in a public setting. So now the Gemara is going to go through eight different takanos that they made in order not to embarrass people. That eight things that they said is going to be shavah l'kol nefesh, we're going to do the same for everybody, even though logically it shouldn't be the same for everybody. Tan rabbanan b'rishonim milichim beis ha'evel ashirim b'kol. Initially, the way they would bring food to the beis ha'evel is wealthy people would bring in these fancy kelim, and poor people would bring in cheap kelim. And the aniyim were very embarrassed. So they determined from then on everybody has to use cheap kelim when it comes to the beis ha'evel. A second takana: Tan rabbanan b'rishonim mashkin beis ha'evel ashirim b'kleiz zechuchus levana v'aniyim b'kleiz zechuchus tzavua. Initially, there would be mashkin the avelim during the Sudas Avra for ashirim in white glass, which are very expensive, and for aniyim in colored glass, which is very cheap. For aniyim espaishin, and the aniyim were embarrassed about that. So they when the Chevra Kadisha was bringing the Sudas Avra, they would have to ask the poor package or the rich package. So that was an embarrassing thing. So iskinu shiyar kol mashkim b'schuchas savua. So everyone used the cheaper glass. Make fodin shal aniyim for the honor of the aniyim. A third din barishonoi megalim b'nei ashirim umechasim b'nei aniyim. It used to be that when they would do the aspedim, they would expose the face of the deceased if he was an usher, but not if he was an ani. Because the ani's face was blackened from mipnei betzaris, from all the starvation that he had. Meaning poor meant really poor. They didn't. They died of starvation. That caused the aniim who were still alive to be embarrassed. So they determined they're going to cover everybody as a covenant for the anim, so we don't have like open casket funerals, so the mace is covered entirely. And then the fourth din, barishonim matzin ashirim bedargesh va'anim beklicha. Initially they would bring an usher out on a nice coffin, and anim on a mita shalmesin that was made like like a few sticks of wood, slots of wood put together like a ladder. For you aniyim espaishin, and the aniyim were embarrassed by that. Says kinushi akol motzin beklicha. Everyone gets a cheap coffin, make kavodin shal aniyim for the cover of the aniyim. We don't have like these mahogany coffins and things like that. Just a plain pine box. That's for everybody, no matter how rich, no matter how poor. It's all the same. For rishono, meaning the point is of many of these takanos is that a funeral shouldn't be so expensive. Funerals are pretty expensive, but that it shouldn't be so prohibitive that people have to run away and avoid their own relatives' funerals because they can't afford it, and just hope that that someone takes care of a meis mitzvah. We don't want that to happen. It should be proper covered. A fifth takana, brishonu yemenichnas a mugmar tachas choli me'ayim meisim. They used to put mugmar, which again is nice smelling spices, under people who died from stomach ailments because they smelled. Choli me'ayim chayim spicing. People who had stomach ailments that were still alive were embarrassed by that. So yiskinu sheyemenichnas tachas akol. So instead, they made a takana that they would put it under all the meisim. Nekvodin shel choli me'ayim chayim. So that the people wouldn't be embarrassed if they suffer from choli me'ayim. A sixth takana. Barishonu yimadbil nasakelim al gabe nidos mesos. They used to be matbil the kelim, the begadim that the nidos would use while they were alive, before they died. If they died while they were in nida, because they're metame all the kelim that they touch. Whereas other mesim that used kelim before they died were not metame the kelim, so there was no need for it. But women who were in nida that were still alive were embarrassed by that. So they were matbil for every woman because of the covenant of nidos chayos. The assumption was that everybody knew who Anita was, and that was natural that everyone would have to know who Anita was because she's metame everything. So people had to be careful with their taros and with their kelim. Barishona, the seventh takana, Barishona matbil al gabe Zav and Mesim, they would be Matil, the Begadim and the Kalim of those who died as a Zav, or Zav and Chaim especially, and people who were Zav and that were alive were embarrassed. His Kinushim and people like Abaya Kol, so they said we'll be Matil for everyone, make Vodin Shal Zav and Chaim out of the honor of the Zav and Chaim. But he showed no Yosar Tzos Hames, Kashal the Krov Yosem Mimi Saso, that an eighth and final Takana, it used to be the expenses of the funeral were more difficult for the family than the loss of the relative. Actually, krov of manichnos o borchin, to the extent that the relative, the poor relatives who couldn't afford a funeral would leave the dead body without any tachrichim, and they'd run away. Actually, Baram Gamliel v'no ikalas rosh ba'atzma to Baram Gamliel on his own was no ikalas rosh v'yatza b'klei pishtan v'no gua machra v'latzis b'klei pishtan. So the Chasam Sofer points out that Baram Gamliel was a nasi. He could have instituted this while he was alive. He could have made a takan and said there be takana funerals from now on, and there's going to be only cheap tachrichin. But he had to be noig ba'atzma. He knew it wasn't going to work if he does it on someone else's cheshbon. He had to be noig ba'atzma, that it had to be on his own, and only then would the example properly be set and people would follow it. Amrav Papa, v'idna noig alma afil b'tzir de barzuzah. Nowadays, the olim is noig to be malbush the mace on the kvura by even a beggar that's made out of something that's extremely cheap, not even big day pishtan. Tzir de barzuzah. Ein manichnas amita. We then said we don't leave the mita in the rechov on Chol HaMoed because it's going to be margil hesped and we don't want to do that. So Amar Papa, ein moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham. There's no moed when it comes to a Talmud Chacham as far as hesped. A Talmud Chacham dies on moed, he could be masped him. V'kol shkein Chanukah Purim, and certainly Chanukah Purim where there's no Isra Malacha, you're also allowed to be masped. V'vani mili b'fanav, av shalom b'fanav lo. That's only Talmud Chacham b'fanav, but if it's shalom b'fanav, if the mace is not there, then you don't do a spade. And even for a Talmud Chacham, eini, is that really true that you're not allowed to be masped a Talmud Chacham? Rav Zid Minarda, Rav Kahana was masped him in Pum Nahara, even though the deceased was not present. So Rav Papi Yom Shmua Hava. That was the day that the Shmua of his Petira reached Pum Nahara Uki Befanav Dami, and therefore it has a status like its Befanav. So once we mention the Inyan of Hesper and Moed, so Gemara discusses other Inyanim of Hesper and Avelus throughout the year. Amr Ula Hesped Alev Tuchsiv Al Shadayim Softim. When one is being maspid, it means that they're pounding their chest. Because the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Al Shadayim Softim. So the Shadayim are on one's heart. That's the part of the body that they're on. So you see that which we call hesped relates to that part of the body. Tipuach biya. Tipuach means that they clasp their hands together as a sign of avelus. Not like a cheer, but like oive, like a clasping of the kilus beregel. And kilus is when they stamp their feet on the ground. Tzara Rabbanam Kali loyikalis besandal el beminim rei sakana. When they're doing this kilus, they shouldn't use a sandal. They should use a minal, a regular shoe, because of the sakana that if the sandal turns upside down and by banging in the ground, it could break your leg. So you want to make sure that you have proper ankle support and foot support when you're banging your feet on the ground in order not to hurt oneself. So we fell behind, sort of on purpose, because the last daf, even though tomorrow's daf is also very long, but the last daf is very, very short. So hopefully we'll catch up in time. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.